Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul and David, DJ,
no,
and
who's the new girl?
Who's the new girl? She looks
kind of familiar. Busy season for the Jews. We got a lot of holidays. We got the Rosh Hashanah, the New Year. Then, of course, yesterday was Yom Kippur. And next week we have Sukkot. But don't worry, I will not take the day off for Sukkot. I only have so many vacations.
I think I dated Sukkot. She was a great gal. She was a lot of fun.
I'm glad to be back.
I bet you wish you could have taken today off.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's some traffic. There must be something going on downtown.
Apparently so. It's a concert. It's a big concert going on. A
lot happening.
Yeah.
So we are on it. We're going to talk security. We're going to talk traffic. We're going to talk scene setter. Our own reporter, Mark Fry, has been on the scene. Actually, I'm not exactly sure where you are, Mark, but set the stage for us.
Yeah, I'm right outside Target Center. So I'm on the corner of First Avenue North and 6th Street North, and it's really where all the protesters are this afternoon as the rain just started falling again here at downtown Minneapolis. But I'm in the midst of the protesters. Had to step away just a little bit outside the group. But the protesters have been growing in numbers since I got here at around 11 this morning.
Mark, are they protesting the president or the weather? Or both?
I think a little of both. I think maybe the weather has kept a lot of the protesters of the president away. But I think more of them are coming out now as we're just a few hours away from President Trump's stop here in downtown Minneapolis.
Who are the protesters? What groups are they from?
There's a wide variety of groups. There's supporters of other candidates. And really, I saw a lot of Ilhan Omar supporters earlier. I talked with one who was just coming out for the afternoon with his wife. So just a lot of different groups out here being represented. And there have been a few, I guess, I wouldn't say skirmishes, but yelling back and forth between Trump supporters and anti-Trump individuals. But so far, I would say, I don't want to say peaceful is the word, but it's been relatively calm.
A potentially dumb question, which I am certainly capable of. Are the protests all at street level? Are people protesting in the skyways themselves, you know, leading into Target Center?
That was a thing that surprised me. So the line to get into Target Center was throughout the skyways, and it was probably one of the longest lines I've ever tried to walk through. But
really?
there were no protesters in the skyway. And a few of the protesters I talked to said they didn't want any part of that, that they were fine just on the street level. And that's really what's been the commonality here is they're all sticking outside. I'm sure there will probably be a few that get through the doorways tonight in Target Center, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Mark, you're downtown a lot. I'm actually going to walk over to Target Center in the 5:30 news hour. We're going to Facebook Live that. So stick with us on the Facebook Live because I'm going to take that walk. And I know that the doors at Target Center are already open. Is that correct? They're already letting people in?
That is correct. Right. So to get in, you have to go through the skyway level. There is no street level entrance. It's barricaded off. And the only way to get inside Target Center is through the skyway this evening.
Now, you're downtown a lot. I'm downtown a lot. Is this different? Is it more congested than a typical concert or, you know, anything else that we would have at Target Center, even a basketball game?
I would say the security is in way higher than what it would be. I mean, you don't see the Secret Service out for a typical Wolves game or Lakers game or concert. So the security is quite, the presence is quite well here. And the barricades outside of Target Center are definitely more than it would be on a typical event at Target Center.
And the amount of people, it's more people?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, outside the crowd is a little, I guess, less than I think what a lot of people were thinking, but multiple police have told me that they're waiting for more people. They expect to come as the rally gets underway, and especially afterwards, I think there's concern for what the crowds could be like when that all lets out.
Sure, and it's dark. And, yeah,
Mark Fry, thank you so much. Appreciate your reporting, and keep us posted and let us know if anything changes, okay?
I will do. Thank you.
I have to recall, you know, I can't recall when Beyonce was at Target Center. They didn't deploy the SWAT team.
No.
She was,
She didn't bring her own Secret Service.
She did not.
But she might have needed it.
So.
Because Beyonce
anyway. Oh,
is the
we want to give away some cash.
Oh.
Before we get to the next trender, it's time for the News Talk 830 WCCO 8K Workday Giveaway, brought to you by Eyewitness News at Noon on 45 TV. The code word this hour is QUICK. Text the word QUICK, Q-U-I-C-K, to 72881 for a chance to win $1,000. Message and data rates apply. Tune in for your next chance to win at 4:10 this afternoon. Also tomorrow at the very same time on the only station giving you a chance to win up to 8K on your workday. News Talk 830 WCCO.
Mark addressed security a little bit over at Target Center for the, you know, quite a bit. But we also learned today, Chad did a great interview with Mayor Fry. And Mayor Fry talked about the possible cost of the security, maybe about $500,000 in overtime, plus another $130,000 in traffic rerouting. And I know the mayor wants the candidate to repay, you know, the president, excuse me, to repay that cost. And what we learned today was interesting is that there is no precedent for that. There's no precedent. There's no law that says the campaign, because this is a campaign rally, this is not a presidential visit, it's different. There is no law that says the rally has to reimburse the city for the costs that they lay out.
Is there a law that states that Minneapolis police have to be there?
Well, no, but in the, I mean, I think it's the job of the police and the mayor to keep people safe
to
in
preserve
Minneapolis.
Safety.
Of course.
No,
so they,
I get that.
They're doing their job, just and they're just going to, seems that they're just going to have to suck up the costs.
Well, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday. You weren't here, and apparently you were not listening, and I'm a little offended. I'm hurt and offended that you weren't listening. But when President Obama came to St. Paul in 2009, it was a rally. Now, he was president at the time. It was a rally for health care.
Right.
That cost $20,000.
You know what? We're going to do this in Two Truths and a Lie, so you need to be quiet.
Why should today be?
We're going to have a contest.
Why is it 26
later
times
in the show,
more than it was in 2009?
We're going to have a contest later in the show that talks about past presidential rallies, and you will have to pick what is the lie. That might be it. It might be fake news, so we're going to have to find out.
Right.
Oh, speaking of fake news, I got in a freaking Twitter war with Jennifer Carnahan, the Republican GOP chair, and I never do this. I don't go in the fray on Twitter. It's a bunch of trolls. I don't do it. And I did it today because she put out a bold-faced lie on Twitter that said that Mayor Fry had an edict that no journalists were allowed in the skyways to interview the folks. No cameras were there. All the media were banned. Complete and utter lie. Not true. Did not happen. So I tweeted at her that it was very sad that she put out that tweet. I mean, it was propaganda. It was made up. She claims she had a source that she never cited. Of course, all the other local media joined in saying, no, we're here. We're filming. We're doing all that stuff. And it was just a Twitter war. I don't do it, but if you're the kind of person that likes to get in the weeds, check it out at Jordana WCCO. You can check out the back and forth. We went back to our Newhouse days of journalism and ethics. And yeah, so there was that.
Well,
I need a shower after that experience. I don't like Twitter wars.
I mean, my understanding is Minneapolis does not own the Skyway.
They do not. The business owners do.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Like Wells Fargo owns their part of the Skyway.
And you have a First Amendment right to say what you want to say.
And the fact is the mayor never said the media couldn't go there. So it just, again, complete lie. So
it
is being covered.
All right.
It is out there. So don't believe everything you read on Twitter.
Now, Jordina, you got your facts.
Yeah, well, don't
believe my facts.
Everything you read
on
Twitter. In fact, Jerry Peterson might be tweeting about the traffic, but he knows where the trouble spots are. And if you're on your way down, you're going to want to hear this. Jerry, what's the latest?
Well, the latest is, let's start off with the parking ramp. Parking ramp C is currently full, so if that was one of the spots you were headed to, you won't be able to use that. But if you're coming in on 394, we'll just mention some of the closures. The exit ramp to 6th Street is closed. Access from 394 to ramps A and B are closed, but you can access those ramps once you get onto the local streets. Around Target Center, 1st Avenue between 6th and 8th, 2nd Avenue between 5th and 10th, 6th Street between 1st and 2nd, 7th Street between Hennepin and 10th, and Twinsway between 7th and 10th Street. Basically, kind of like a two-block radius, I would call it, right around Target Center is where you're going to find those lane and road closures. Traffic-wise, we're seeing a lot of heavy stuff right now right along Hennepin Avenue, Washington Avenue a bit busy, 7th Avenue, or rather 7th Street, heading over toward Hennepin Avenue. You're going to find that to be busy as well. Everything, for the most part, seems to be manageable. I'm not hearing of any major problems as of right now, but obviously we'll just keep an eye on it.
Good.
They have started to turn off some of the cameras around the airport, so I'm not sure if the president's arrived yet. I have not heard or seen anything. But one thing to keep in mind, once the vice president and president arrive, yes, and they start moving those motorcades, that means the highways will be closing. So expect closures along 35W, Cedar Avenue, 35E, and I-35 for the vice president as it heads down to Lakeville.
He gets to enjoy I-35 just like
boy.
We do, huh?
Yeah. Oh,
boy. Yeah.
The poor vice president,
welcome,
though. I mean, who's going to go hear him speak when we got the president in town? Come
yeah.
on.
Well,
he's
and,
speaking before the big rally.
Oh, okay.
So. That's right. And the president is supposed to land around 6 o'clock. He's not expected to get to Target Center until 7:25.
Jerry, you said they turned off the cameras down at the airport. Is that for safety
yep.
and security reasons?
Yep, that's a security measure that they take. So the MnDOT cameras are all turned off along the crosstown, Highway 5, 494, Cedar 35E, and I-35.
Hmm. So no more updates until they turn
president's
it back on.
President's going to wish he took fine. Light rail. Can we get him on? That would mess things up
well
a little.
Done.
I wonder if they could do that. I suppose they can do whatever they want, but, you know, in a way, the light rail does make a lot of sense at this point.
For sure. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. For people coming downtown, they might want to consider that.
Yeah,
Jerry,
you're right on.
You're the best. We will reach out to you.
Some shopping first. They can do that, too. They go to the Mall
shopping
American
at the MOA. The great idea.
There you go.
Great idea.
Thanks, Jer. Keep your eyes
yep.
out. I didn't realize they turn off the cameras. It'll be hard to do the traffic with the cameras down.
Yeah.
So, whatever. We trust Jerry. He'll figure it out. When we return, a little bit on Yom Kippur, and while I was praying and fasting and atoning yesterday, the boys were having a whole lot of fun here in the studio.
No.
Hear the most hilarious thing that happened on the show yesterday, next.
Paul and Jordana.
Sorry, say that again, Jordana. The listeners at home missed this. Say
what
that
I
one
said
more time.
Was, Paul, David, I am sorry if I wronged you in the past year. If I ever did anything to upset you, if I ever made you feel bad. But, of course, I should have said this before yesterday, because yesterday was Yom Kippur.
Ah.
So do you forgive me? You have to forgive me,
right? Of course
I
forgive
you. Appreciate that. Thank
but
you.
I'm curious,
to, but...
what are the top three sins you've committed
oh,
in the
really?
Last year? I think listeners at home have a right to know how naughty you've been.
Well, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, is when Jews around the world, ask for forgiveness from God for their sins. But they don't always only ask God for forgiveness. They ask the people they've wronged. So we are supposed to go and talk to people that we certainly have committed a wrong to. But also, there are wrongs that you don't necessarily know you did. You know, if you said something about somebody and, you know, they found out about it, or you meant it in a different way, but they were hurt by it.
A sin of omission.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So you're supposed to tell people that you love and care about, even people that maybe you hate, that you're sorry if you wronged them, and ask their forgiveness. And I did that quite a bit. And although I was late to the party on this one, guys, sorry, I should have asked you last week.
That's okay.
I hope you forgive
better
me.
Better late than never.
But all sorts of sins, sins of... jumping to conclusions, sins of making judgments, sins of gossip. Yeah, that's a big one in Judaism. You're not supposed to gossip. Sins of, embarrassing somebody else, embarrassing them. I mean, the sins there's greed, there's blasphemy. Any sin you can think of is one of the sins that you should be atoning for.
Why is this the holiest? I mean, this is the biggest holiday in Judaism, right?
Yeah, why? I mean, some rabbis would argue that Shabbat, our Sabbath, is our holiest day of the year. That happens every Saturday, Friday night to Saturday night. But yes, this is considered one of the high holy days. Yes, holiest day of the year, because you need to think about the things that you have done wrong. You need to take stock. You need to be introspective. And you need to try to be a better person in the next year. That's the whole point of being Jewish, is personal growth. That's, I think, a commonality with all religions. It's being a better person. It's being a better human being. It's growing inside. It's helping the people around you. It's being a light, leaving the earth a better place than when you found it. So it's an important day to take stock and ask forgiveness, and then plan out how you're not going to do it. Even though you're going to sin again, nobody's perfect. You know, God knows that. Everybody knows that. But it's all about trying to do your best that for the next year. One of my favorite parts of Yom Kippur, and I'll just say briefly, and then we can talk about the hilarity that ensued yesterday while I was fasting. It's a 25-hour fast. It's a very long fast. No water, no nothing, from 6:10 the night before till 7:30 last night. It's a tough fast.
Ouch.
And two of my children are already bar and bat mitzvah, which means they are of age. They're adults considered. They're over 12 and 13. And they have to fast. After your bar and bat mitzvah, you fast. So my son, it was his first fast. So it was a big deal. And he did well, thank God. So One of the customs that we do in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, which is next year, it's called Tashlich. It's when you go to a body of water, hopefully a running body of water, and you literally throw away your sins. It's physical. You take bread and you think of how you sinned and you throw it into the water. It's a physical manifestation of forgiving yourself, acknowledging your sins, and releasing it to the ducks or the bottom of the lake or whatever it is. And this is a very meaningful thing for the children and I when we go every year to a lake or to a river. Some we say out loud, some we don't. But it's I think it's a very cathartic exercise to do around the time of Yom Kippur. Very for anybody,
cool.
Really.
Very cool.
So that was
it contributes to bread pollution, though.
Well, there you go.
Water pollution.
The ducks enjoyed it.
That's one of my top stories,
is
all of the little chunks of bread that
Jews are now blamed for the bread pollution.
The bread pollution. Well, that's cool. And thank you for that explainer. I think all of us can learn from Judaism. And we want to get more of this kind of chatter on the air, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about our faith.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. You're Jewish. Mm-hmm.
But in Christianity, and certainly in Catholicism, you have confession.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in the other denominations of Christianity, there is a way to confess sins or find absolution. I'm sure there are ways in every faith that is a different manifestation of this.
My very Catholic wife grew up going to confession.
Absolutely.
You know,
and it's very cathartic.
I'm Protestant. I go right to the source.
I
skip the middleman.
Yeah.
I go right to the guy.
That's right.
Right to the guy. All right.
But while I was very
while
busy
you
yesterday.
Were praying for our souls and your own soul and praying for forgiveness and doing all the right things yesterday, David and I were slogging. You know, we were just trying to keep our heads above water.
You were having a great time.
And at one point yesterday, David, he had the right intention. We have these
Come
monitors.
On, play it.
We have these monitors all over the studio, and this one in front of me was too high, and so I couldn't see David. He couldn't give me cues, visual cues, or various, you know, obscenities. And so he lowered the monitor, and as he lowered the monitor, the cord underneath the monitor hit our replay system that has all of the canned sound.
And this is while you were reading a commercial?
While I was reading, and it was possibly the best read I've ever had on the air.
Until David.
And all of a sudden I hear this. Speaking of crazy weather, yeah, we do live in the Super Bowl of weather. No doubt about that. 30 to 40
Jane,
days.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
30 to 40 days. What was
that? Play it again, David.
Of all the things you... Yeah. Speaking of crazy weather, yeah, we do live in the Super Bowl of weather. No doubt about that. 30 to 40
Jane,
days.
You ignorant slut.
I haven't been called that in a long time. It brings back memories, flashbacks from my senior
year. We don't use that enough.
No doubt about that. 30 to 40
Jane,
days.
You ignorant slut.
Okay, we got it. Thanks, DJ. We get the idea.
I leave you alone for one day.
It's live radio, and sometimes it's not pretty.
What happened after that is he had to continue or start over his live spot because we want to do a good job for our clients. And I'm over here cowering in the corner so Paul can't see me as I'm shaking and writhing in laughter.
That's so good.
Of all the ones that you could hit, you had to hit that number 38.
Well, you reminded us of it, so we're going to use it a lot.
Yeah, okay.
Great.
We'll also be right back. We got to hit the traffic and weather next.
Paul and Jordana.
Time for a few news nuggets. We would be remiss if we did not mention what is happening in Syria right now. Again, Turkey has ground troops advancing into Syria. Reports on the ground paint a scene of chaos, gridlocked highways, people trying to flee to safety, in many cases running for their lives. Also reports of civilian casualties. And some are worried that this could be the start of a humanitarian catastrophe. The Kurdish forces have apparently dropped their counter-ISIS operations to focus on the Turkish offensive. And that is raising fears that this could all lead to a resurgence of ISIS. There's also a lot of concern, Jor, that thousands of ISIS fighters, the number I heard was 8,000 captured fighters that are currently being guarded by the Kurds in northern Syria, that many of them could at some point break loose. Asked about that, the president essentially shrugged it off, saying it's not America's problem since the fighters would be, quote, escaping to Europe. Speaking of which.
Escaping to Europe, so that means they can't do harm or they can't come here? That's absolutely insane.
Well, the president of Turkey, Mr. Erdogan, has threatened to, quote, open the doors and send 3 million Syrian refugees. Not the ISIS fighters, but just refugees, just trying to escape the madness. 3 million of them to Europe. If the European Union condemns his invasion of Syria as an occupation, Erdogan also said that 109 terrorists have been killed since Turkey launched its offensive into Syria. By the way, Turkey officially treats Kurdish fighters as terrorists, but they were our allies. They are our allies in the fight against ISIS, and thousands of their young men and women died going after ISIS on our behalf.
It's a scary time.
It is.
Can I lighten things up a little bit?
Please.
NHL teams are acquiring cute little dogs now. Isn't that nice? This is like
Why?
A real news story.
Why? What?
10 teams now boast official team dogs, and the number is growing because the dogs are becoming as popular as the players. I can't tell you how many selfies our little dude is part of. This dude is Smash, from the Nashville Predators, says is part of in the course of the game. You always see him walking on the concourse, snuggled up with someone taking a picture. The Predators, the Arizona Coyotes, the Minnesota Wild, the Montreal Canadiens, the Islanders, the Senators, the Blues, the Sharks, the Lightning, blah, blah, blah. There's a few more. Captain's Forward says the guys have loved our dog. There's not much you can't like about a pup. Now, I think this is wonderful because, you know, sometimes hockey fans, and I love you, I'm a hockey fan, we get a little rowdy, get a little rambunctious. We like the fights. I'm not advocating violence in any way, shape, or form. So having, you know, these cute little team pups walking around in the concourses, maybe just smoothing out those rough edges, is a beautiful thing.
You should get them on the ice, though. Can't you make little ice skates for the doggies and
put
them out
kind of
on
abuse.
The ice?
PETA would have a field day with that, but I love this. The NHL
Speaking
is bringing
of PETA, there'd be plenty of pee.
Dogs. No. They're bringing in dogs to run. Oh, no, listen, wait a minute, hold on. A December video, I didn't see this part yet, December video of a puppy running around on the ice from the Blues after practice with a hockey stick in its mouth went viral.
Watch that.
Okay, and Barkley, which is from the Blues, actually got to eat from the Stanley Cup after the Blues won their first championship.
Barkley?
Barkley is their dog's name. So, you know, I love that they're inviting these trained dogs to come and chill with the fans. I think that's great.
So it's supposed to calm the people down a little bit, the fans?
Yes, and it's really very Instagrammable,
by the way. Who doesn't like a cute dog? I think we can all agree that, that cute dogs, I'm a dog guy.
I like it. I got to Google our Minnesota Wild dog. I have to find out who that is.
Do you watch Flip or Flop? Do you watch HGTV?
Sure. Please, I'm addicted.
Remember Christina? And, well, she's still on.
Yeah,
Flip or Flop. Christina Anstead and Tariq Almusa. They were, I mean, not quite as big as, what's the
Chip
one?
Chip and Joanna.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the other ones.
But very popular show. Here's the deal. The Federal Trade Commission has basically said that the Flip or Flop couple, Tariq and Christina, are in hot water.
Oh, no.
After being involved with a, quote, misleading real estate seminar. Uh-oh. So this is something they did on the side.
Oh, they came to Minneapolis.
Yes, they did.
I remember that. I did not go, but I remember they were promoting it.
So the couple was involved with a company called Zurix. And per this filing with the FTC, Zurix has gotten people to sign up for these seminars, which are almost $2,000, after putting on free seminars meant to help people get into the business of flipping. Okay. And again, there's no free lunch, right?
Honey?
Maybe your mother will make you a free lunch with no strings attached. But I always get nervous. Yeah, free? Nah, I don't think so. There's also a secondary alleged scheme in which class attendees were asked to increase the credit limits and sign up for more classes costing thousands of dollars using their credit cards to pay for these upsells. Zurich sent out a statement saying the company was fully cooperating with the filing and investigation from the FTC, looking forward to a positive outcome regarding these real estate seminars. For now, these seminars have been put on hold. HGTV has not responded about the FTC investigation. Wow. Meanwhile, Tariq and Christina have not spoken about the event on social media.
You think?
And have been enjoying free time with their family.
They're divorced now, though.
They're still divorced.
But that's okay. They can enjoy free time with their family as well. But that was like another scandal where, okay, I'm not supposed to gossip, right? It's the day after Yom Kippur. I'm
not
supposed to talk
about it. How quickly you forget the lessons of Yom Kippur.
Sorry.
Christina on the Coast. She has another show.
She has another show with the new, she's either remarried or engaged. She has another show where she's doing something similar. But they also do Flip and Flop. They still do that show together.
They're airing reruns. Yeah, they're airing reruns from, what is it?
No, but I think they were working together, too.
Season 8. Yeah, Flip or Flop is still airing new episodes on HGTV. Season 8 premiered back in August of 2019. Look, I love HGTV, but I don't know. It's like they're using Monopoly money. I love it when the couple say, okay, well, we have $20,000 and we want to do the kitchen. Yeah. We want to do the living room. All the bedrooms. Some landscaping. Oh, you got $20,000? Perfect. Okay, yeah.
It's like fantasy land.
What planet are you living on?
It is Monopoly money.
I think in that respect, they're not really divulging all of the comps, all of the free stuff that people throw in to get their name on there.
I like it too. It's fun to see the reveals. You like going on cruises?
Oh, I do.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love a good cruise. I want to talk about my Israel trip a little bit later in the show. That's not a cruise. But listen to this. A 2-week Norwegian cruise line in Europe is now in chaos. Norwegian Spirit had diverted several alternative ports. They were supposed to go to Iceland.
It was the main weather, right? Muddy weather.
And on Monday, a week and a half in, the people had gathered their bags. They said, "We're not going to Iceland. We're going to land in Scotland." Well, people had their bags and they were ready to get off. And an announcement came over and said, "Okay, we're not landing. We're going back out to sea." I think they tried to dock 3 or 4 times. They couldn't go there. The people hadn't gotten off the ship in a week and a half, and there was an uproar. One of the cruisers said the tension leading to the announcement was palpable and it exploded. People just went over the edge. He does not mean over the edge of the cruise ship. He does not mean that. But people were just angry and yelling. It was a prolonged protest.
They had a protest,
shouted demands for a refund. They had homemade signs. They called crew members liars and asked to get back to London to get off the ship. And the revolt lasted for hours. They say it was not violent. But I believe the captain told the passengers to call the company's headquarters. Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks. What are we going to do? We're on a ship. And told to speak to guest services. They were apparently offered a refund. And then before they got off the ship, they were offered a 25% off their next cruise.
I'll take that cruise.
No way.
But here's the deal.
That was crazy.
In defense of the cruise line, if you can't safely dock, if docking those enormous cruise ships, kill people. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ship could sink. And so what do you do if you've got 30, 40, 50 mile an hour winds?
Right.
And read the fine print. This is a reminder for all of us to read the fine print.
Yeah,
Take the time. On the website, Norwegian Cruise Line, the company has the right to cancel, advance, postpone, or substitute any scheduled sailing or itinerary without prior notice for any reason, including weather conditions, mechanical difficulties, and labor stoppages. So nothing's guaranteed but death and taxes, right?
Exactly. And you're right. You don't want to put the cruisers in danger, but my goodness, that was...
And it's
hurricane season when they were cruising. Yeah.
If you take a cruise, I'm sorry, you take a cruise in early or mid-October, you know there are going to be storms.
Okay.
There's a reason why it costs less in October than it does in May or June.
That's why everybody should come to Israel with me in January. Go on the Paul and Jordana site, January 20th, 25th to February 4th. We're going to Israel. It's going to be the trip of a lifetime. Go to the Paul and Jordana Facebook site and sign up. There are very few spots left because I think the money has to be in by the end of the month. But go on, take a look at the Israel trip, and come with me and handsome husband. I'm just over the moon excited about it.
I'm taking my wife. And Bill and Terry Pop are joining us.
Very nice.
First week of December. So I'll tell you what to expect. Okay? All right. But that sounds like a great trip.
It's going to be a great
trip. I saw the itinerary. It looks amazing.
You ready to play?
No.
I think you are. You're ready to play. And by the way, if anybody's trying to reach us at work today at our intercom email, the email is down, so I apologize. Things are a little bit delayed. Well, I figured we should talk. Unfortunately for us, we don't have any more twins, two truths and a lie, but I figured we should talk about political campaigns.
Okay.
We learned today, let me see what our time is. We learned today that there is no law forcing political campaigns to reimburse cities for the city's expenses incurred during the rallies. You know, things like for security and traffic rerouting and all that good stuff.
Right.
So I wanted to look back at previous political rallies in Minnesota. So I'm going to give you a list, I'm going to give you three statements. One of them is a lie.
Okay.
One of them.
Okay.
Is a lie.
All right, I'm feeling good about this. Hit me.
In 2004, the city of Chanhassen paid the $14,000 bill after a visit by President George W. Bush. There was no reimbursement. In 2009, as referenced by you a few moments ago in the show, former Minneapolis Police Chief Tim Dolan estimated a health care rally at Target Center by then President Barack Obama cost his department about $20,000. Again, there was no reimbursement.
Okay.
President Trump's 2018 rally in Duluth cost the city $69,000. And later that year, at a rally at the Mayo Civic Center in Rochester, it cost the city $205,000. Once again, the city was on the hook. Which do you think is false? One of these presidents reimbursed the city at least a little bit. Which one do you think it was?
I think number three is wrong. The third.
You think three is
false.
The
third nugget. Yeah, where you were talking about Duluth and Rochester.
Ow!
That's really loud, I know. How did you know that?
Because I actually had elements of this yesterday on the air. When you were praying for our soul, I was actually digging into the numbers.
Oh,
and it didn't ring a bell. I thought Duluth was more like 20 or 30,000.
Well, here's the truth of it all. The president's 2018 rally in Duluth did cost the city $69,000, and he did not pay them back.
Okay.
At the rally at the Mayo Civic Center in Rochester, which cost the city $205,000, the Trump campaign reimbursed Rochester for 112 of those dollars.
Huh.
112 of the 205. The city still paid $93,000, but the Trump campaign did reimburse Rochester for $112,000 of those dollars.
Okay.
There you go.
See, I didn't
you
have,
did well.
I didn't have that part of it yesterday.
You did well.
So I'm learning stuff.
There you go.
All the time.
You did well. Good job with for two truths and a lie. I'll have to think of something more clever tomorrow.
I'm sure you will.
I will have to think of something
Hey,
more
we
clever.
Got all kinds of stuff going on this weekend. Mm-hmm. Todd Walker is back at 4:10. And we're keeping an eye on everything happening at Target Center.
Yes,
if there's
for sure.
breaking news, you'll hear about it right here on CCO. But the amazing Hurricane Todd Walker up next on 830.
Paul and Jordana.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.